Actually, it has a department, and together with Professor Jane Duncan, who will be with us, we have invited the Department of Public Service and Administration that will be leading us with a presentation of a dissemination of functions, particularly the proclamation. We also have Professor Duncan, who will take us through the research work on specific areas where we have to work on. Those are the two issues that are on our agenda item at the moment. We will always have the Department of Communication that will be part of our meeting, because it's the main department that we are overseeing. And I am aware that there are those from communications who are here. I nearly said Public Service and Administration. Okay. So let's then quickly look into our agenda, formally so. Our agenda, after the opening, we will look into our apologies. We do have the copies of the minutes that we have circulated, which we believe that the members have gone through them. We'll quickly go through the minutes and deal with them as the third agenda item. On the fourth agenda item, we did adopt our program. On the fourth agenda item, it was the presentation of the Department of Public Service and Administration on the proclamation on the new department and its reporting entities. That will be the fourth. The fifth agenda item will be the presentation by Professor Jane Duncan on sector analysis, part of an environmental scan for the members so that we all move together. Honorable members will notice that there is a reason why we particularly started this way, because we come from a background where the Department of Communication was one and has been divided into the Department of Communications and now the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services. And therefore, there was a need for us to acquire clarity once we start to move and deal with our work. And we deliberately had to start this way as members. It is fortunate for us all that we had to start with the budget votes, which gave us an overall analysis and scan of the entire environment. Because we had to deal with everything on the budget votes. It was part of hitting the ground running as new members and also as members who are new in the committee. Further than that, then we're going to be area specific, because you remember when we started with the budget votes, we made a joint committee program for both the Portfolio Committee and Telecommunications and Postal Services, together with ourselves as the Portfolio Committee for Communication. So it was a joint, so that we're able to look at the interaction appropriately and also to ensure that we process the budget votes accordingly. And therefore, it was an excellent process which we worked on. Now we're moving on with our work. The Portfolio Committee on Telecommunications has its own role. We do have ours, and therefore that clarity had to be sorted out in order for us to really move. Now, honorable members, we are going to look at the minutes. Can members have the copies of their minutes? It is a two-page document. I'll start with page one. If there are any amendments, any corrections, any issues that members want to raise, can they do so? Page one of the minutes. Those minutes were the minutes of the 29th of July. It was when we were looking at the adoption of the minutes of the previous meetings. Particularly the item which was there was the consideration of the second term committee program. Page one of the minutes. If no corrections, no amendments, page two of the minutes. Honorable Davis.
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't have any issues with the minutes as they go, as far as they go. But I do find them rather lacking in detail, because we had quite a substantive discussion at our last meeting around the Public Protector's Report, and I'm surprised that nothing of that is reflected in the minutes, for example. We also discussed an issue that I raised, which was the inquiry into the qualifications of the chairperson of the SABC board and the mandate of this committee to conduct an inquiry into whether those into whether the chairperson falsified her qualifications or not. And I raised that at the last meeting on the 29th, and I would like that to be reflected in these minutes, please. I would also like to put that back on the agenda for today's meeting so that we can get some clarity on the process of where we're at in getting that legal opinion on whether this committee can conduct an inquiry into the alleged fraudulent qualifications of the SABC chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, on that matter, possibly there is a particular way of how we capture minutes. We do have an agenda item, and we focus on those issues. If we do have a standard agenda that we have adopted, we do move along that. There is a particular way of how minutes are captured. The matter that you are referring to, we did talk about it. It's captured in the minutes. It's a side matter, which does not necessarily, you know, because if we have to have a committee meeting that relates to that, it should be that way. So if we then pull any other thing that can be discussed along the meeting, we might find that our agenda items do drag and pull all other matters around. The matter that you still refer to, I remember I clarified in the meeting that it is a matter that is being handled, and of course I'm considering in the light that I've heard that there were media briefing and so on. Well, my understanding is that possibly, you know, because you were supposed to get feedback by last week. If you didn't get feedback, possibly that's why you really moved that way. It's a matter that is being worked on, and I have agreed with the legal section to come, and I don't want it to be a matter for discussion because it's not on the agenda item, but it's a matter that we are handling as the committee. But it is important, if that matter has been put forward, that matter members understand how it is going. So we have requested one legal representative to come at the end of the meeting to clarify how far we are. And I'm requesting to members, that's a matter that I would request that it is not discussed in the meeting, but we do have to get feedback. And you'll understand possibly once it's actually the feedback is given why. So I say it shouldn't be discussed, but we do respect if members bring on board issues. Okay. In the light that matter will be addressed, can I? Are there any other issues, Honourable Davis?
Just to clarify, you say that a legal representative will come at the end of this meeting to brief us.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, Honourable Members, in the light of that, can we then have a mover for the adoption of the minutes? Yes, Honourable Ted is moving for the adoption of the minutes. It's seconded by Honourable Kegan. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Then we can move to the next agenda item. I'm sorry I did not clarify the issues of the apologies. We do have some apologies that have came before us. It is the apology from the Deputy Minister for Public Service and Administration, as the department invited to come and do the presentation, from Minister Ayanda Dodlo, who will not be present. The other apology is from Honourable Willie Madisha. And there is also an additional apology of a member of this committee who is not too well, Honourable Nkwana. Okay, so those are the three apologies for now. Okay. Honourable Members, we then have to move speedily to also the main issue for our discussion. We can have that presentation and a discussion on that, and then we can, if depending on how well do we fare in terms of the discussion and the presentations, I can afford members a break thereafter before we move to the next the presentation by Professor Duncan. Okay. Is the Department of Public Service and Administration ready? I have noticed that we do have Mr. Kenny Govender. I will hand over to you to deal with the entire introduction and then proceed to the presentation.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Kenny Govender. I'm Deputy Director General in the Department of Public Service and Administration. Can I also start with an apology on behalf of my minister? He's been asked to open the CPSI, the Center for Public Service Innovation, this morning, so he's doing the opening address, and he's occupied there. Madam Chair, we've been asked to do a presentation on the to the Portfolio Committee on Communications on the National Macro Organizing of the State Project. And what we've done is we've done a broad presentation giving some indication of the background, where does this project come from, what is it about. I'll give some indication also as to what is DPSA role in this particular project in relation to the NMOS approach. We'll deal with the legal matters, and I think that's important because DPSA is responsible for three key areas in terms of giving effect to the NMOS project. And in this regard, we're going to deal with two proclamations as well as the transfer function.
Okay, you saying you can hear?
No, I can. Yeah, also that, but I thought he's going to tell us who he's with before he gets in the presentation.
Yeah.
Because there are too many people there. I don't know now who I'm with.
Okay, sorry, my apologies, Madam Chair. I'm accompanied by two officials. Emmanuel Marsha is in the ministry responsible for parliamentary affairs, and I'm here with Shamila Abrahams, who's in the office of the DG in the Cape Town office. Fortunately, I can't account for anyone else. Thank you. Madam Chair, as I was talking about it, I'll give a quick background in terms of where this project comes from, what is DPSA role. We'll cover the legal matters in terms of the proclamations that have been issued to give effect to this particular activity. I will focus specifically in relation to transfer of functions and entities around communications and telecommunications and postal services. I'm limiting it to that particular work. Although if there are questions in terms of the broader NMOS project, I'll be able to deal with them, but I've not dealt with all of them in this presentation. And then in terms of the progress by cluster, I'm going to look at the cluster, which is communications, telecommunications, and postal services, in terms of that actual movement. Firstly, in terms of the background, I think all of us are aware, after the elections, the President, in May of 2014, through a proclamation or the President's Act number 135 and 136, appointed his executive portfolio. That is in terms of the appointment of your ministers and deputy ministers to the various portfolios that the President identified. After that appointment, it became evident that there's a number of departments, there are a number of ministries, and there are a number of functions assigned to different ministers is not the same that was prior to 2009. That was prior to 26th May 2014. And therefore, it required of us to establish what we call the National Macro Organizing of the State project, which will then deal with the revised executive, in a sense. The National Macro Organizing of the State Steering Committee was then established, and that particular committee is chaired by the Director General in the Presidency, Dr. Cassius Lubisi. He's the chairperson. Included in the steering committee is all of the DGs affected by this movement or the changes that have been brought about by the President's announcement. It includes the DG-DPSA, it includes National Treasury, GCIS, but GCIS as the department responsible for branding, for communication and that type of thing, and Department of Public Works is responsible for accommodation. We regard those departments, DPSA, National Treasury, GCIS and DPW, as center of government departments who will then be responsible for supporting the other departments in terms of the area of specialization. DPSA, in terms of the governance structure, is responsible for convening and chairing what we call a national project team. Basically, the task team directed to give effect to the entire macro organizing of the state, and we report to the DG in the presidency through the steering committee. So the governance structures after the announcement were established. We established them early in June, and as indicators, it's to support by center of government departments to affected departments, to support them in relation to the establishment of the department, to support them in terms of their accommodation, support them in terms of the structure, the identification of staff, the identification of resources and so on that needs to move or to be brought into the new department to grow the department in terms of the announcement. The national project team comprising of subject experts to assist departments was also established. The national project team, as I indicated, is led by DPSA. and those center of government departments are the experts we bring on board. You establish a new department called Department of Small Business Development. You need now to do the branding, the establishment of the new department, the color coding, all of those things that needs to be done. And that's where GCIS supports them, that small business development, both the minister, the deputy minister, and the department has to be appropriately accommodated. DPW supports them in that particular work. You'll notice Department of Public Works also plays a critical role in the accommodation for both ministers and deputy ministers as part of this process as well. The departmental project teams were also established because most of the work is done at a departmental level. So we've established department-specific task teams. Each department, or a cluster of departments, have their own task teams. In this case, the Department of Communications, or GCIS as it's currently known, and the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, stroke Department of Communications, have their own departmental task teams, and they work together to ensure that they identify the correct staff and resources to move between the two of them. And that's their main response. Can I apologize for that spelling? It's recourse. It's not recourses, it's resources. Staff and resources. So it's a transfer of function that they deal with, clearly identifying which function needs to be moved based on the President's proclamation. And secondly, who are the staff affected by this transfer? The individuals, the warm bodies, including the vacant funded positions in that organization, as well as all of the resources attached to that particular function that needs to move, including all the legal aspects, whether it's a contract, service level agreement, whatever needs to move. I'll give you one example in that regard. If you look at Department of Water and Sanitation versus Department of Human Settlement, the function of sanitation is moving from Department of Human Settlements to Department of Water and Sanitation. And there's about 11 contracts already signed in terms of the bucket eradication system. So those 11 contracts will have to be transferred from Human Settlement to the Department of Water and Sanitation as part of this process. So a new department takes responsibility for that. DPSA, as part of this process, has been supporting them by developing various guides. We develop a comprehensive set of guides to support departments on step-by-step what they need to do, and that's posted on DPSA website to support them. We also convene bi-weekly meetings. Every second week or every fortnight we meet, we discuss the guides, we finalize the guides, and we share the guides. We also receive regular progress from departments to make sure we meet the timelines. What was the approach endorsed by the steering committee as to how we're going to deal with this project? It is very clear the project is aimed at simply, or is limited to, giving effect to the presidential proclamations regarding the establishment of new or amended executive portfolios, the renaming and establishment of new departments, and the transfer of legislation between ministers in terms of the Constitution. That's our core responsibility. We do not, through this process, introduce new policies and strategies that falls outside the scope of NMOS. So in other words, we're not going to create new departments in terms of their revised mandate or their revised vision or strat planning sessions or whatever. It's simply limited to the presidential proclamations. And I'll deal with those proclamations in a little while. We assist in designing organizational structures, and remember, the organizational structures are limited to the realignment of the organization in terms of the revised movement or the new functions you take on. I think a simple example would be Department of Women, which was the old Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. They've lost two components. Children and people with disabilities are moving to social development. We need now to assist Department of Women in coming up with a new structure only for women. That's the work we're doing, and that's the structure our minister will deal with, the Minister of Public Service and Administration, at the end of the day. We will then support Department of Social Development to integrate women and children and people with disabilities into the existing structure, and that's the work we do there. So it's not anything new or something else that Department of Social Development wants to do. We've identified, as agreed by the steering committee, we want to try and work towards the 25th of August for all of the departments to submit their request to the minister, and I'll explain that determination that they request of the Minister for Public Service and Administration in the legal presentation, or the legal part of this presentation. And we want to try and draw this entire process to a close by the 30th of August. Now, I think it's important the date of 30th of August has been arrived at to align with the budget processes. We want to ensure that we complete this entire process by the 30th of August to ensure that the new departments with their budget vote operate effectively with effect from 1 April 2015 going forward. Now, if we miss the deadline of 30th of August, it's going to be fairly tough. Hopefully, we can get some leeway from National Treasury, but the target date is 30th of August to ensure that the budget structure, the votes, and the funds are appropriately allocated in 2015-2016 going forward. The other important principle we've adopted for this project is staff will transfer with existing terms and conditions of employment. We did pick up, for example, there are department-specific policies that apply in a number of departments, and those policies become tools of trade and become their conditions of service, and they've been moved across. So, for example, if you worked in Department of Women and you received a cell phone allowance of 1,000 rand a month, and you had a contract that is linked to that 1,000 rand, you will carry that contract into the new department. And if the new policy in the other department is 800 rands, you won't reduce it. So it's just to maintain those contracts. But we're saying very clearly, all of those anomalies in a department must be aligned by the end of this financial year, by the end of this financial year at the latest, to ensure there's uniformity between staff members in a department. Otherwise, you're going to end up with disgruntled employees in the organization. Coming to the legal matters, and I may just spend a little longer on this particular slide to explain what we do here. There's basically three proclamations or three legal instruments that the DPSA, as part of the national project team, has been driving. The two proclamations I referred to earlier in terms of Section 135 and 136 of the Constitution, which deals with the appointment of ministers and deputy ministers, that has been issued, and I'm not talking about that. The first proclamation DPSA as coordinated and signed off by the President was Proclamation number 43 of July 2014, and that was to amend Schedule 1 of the Public Service Act. Remember, the announcement of the President resulted in the creation of new departments. It resulted in the renaming of departments. And the moment you create new departments and you rename departments, Schedule 1 of the Public Service and Administration lists all the national departments. And the moment you change them, you'll have to issue a gazette to change those names. So that simply is a proclamation to change the names of those departments. It's very warm in here. I'm sorry, thank you. The second proclamation that we have to deal with, and I'll come, that's the last bullet there, is the assignment of legislation to the various ministers. But I want to finish off with the first proclamation, which deals with the renaming of departments, because it's important to understand it in the context of why you need those departments. Even National Treasury, as part of their appropriation vote and the in part of the Appropriation Act, they will assign budgets linked to the departments on Schedule 1. And therefore, we have to get those names right so that the budget votes are aligned. To facilitate the transfer of functions within a financial year, existing departments were retained as holders of current vote. What does that mean? You will notice in Proclamation number 43, we have two departments. You have the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, which is the existing department, which is now renamed to be called Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. You retain the old department because the old department vote is in the current year. All the resources are in planning, in performance monitoring and evaluation. You can only abolish the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation once all of the resources are moved from that vote to a new vote. And if we, by creating it during the course of this year, we can move the money in here. So during the course of this year, in the adjustments vote in October of 2014, if we've completed this exercise, we can even move the monies in here. So we try and facilitate that process going forward as well. So therefore, you'll notice even in terms of Department of Communication and Department of Telecommunications, we still retain the votes, plus we create the new vote of telecommunications and postal services. I'll deal with that a little later. just for information purposes, the appropriation bill, and I'm sure all of you are aware of this, has gone through the NCOP process, has gone through the National Assembly process, and it's currently before the President for signing. And as indicated, that act now, once signed by the President, will allow us to transfer staff and transfer money in as part of this process. So what does this practically mean for GCIS? And the way we've understood it and the work we're doing, the government communication information system becomes the Department of Communication, and with the vote that is currently with GCIS, with effect from 15-16 going forward. The current Department of Communications, as we know it, becomes the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services with its vote. And I think that's an important principle. Once we've completed the exercise and moved the functions of GCIS to form the new Department of Communication, we will then delist GCIS in the new year. And then the current Department of Communications will move into the Department of Telecommunications. It forms the core of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, and it will retain its vote with the new name. Then I think it's important, the next point I want to speak about is the proclamation in terms of 97, Section 97 of the Constitution. This proclamation deals with the assignment or the administrative responsibility for legislation or entities from one minister to another minister. And the President does this. Give you a simple example. The State Information Technology Agency, CETA. If you look at the CETA Act, the minister responsible for that act was the Minister for Public Service and Administration. And if you look at the definition, whenever you refer to minister, it's MPSA. Through this proclamation, the minister has now transferred the administrative responsibility of that legislation to the Minister for Telecommunications and Postal Services. So you don't have to go and amend the act. The proclamation allows you to change that administrative responsibility. And therefore, it becomes part of the responsibility of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services going forward. So that's your Section 97 of the Constitution, which enables the President, through a proclamation, which has to be gazetted, to transfer the administration of legislation from one minister to another minister. And that has been done, and that proclamation was issued on the 15th of July. And what are the specific functions that were moved? And again, here I'm coming specifically to Department of Communications, and then I'll deal with telecommunication. The transfer of functions and entities to the new Department of Communications. And I just want to be also very clear. There's two things addressed here. The one aspect is Section 97, which is legal aspects that are transferred between ministers. But we will also deal with the transfer of functions that are also not covered in legislation. The Government Communication Information Systems functions is a Schedule 1 department in terms of the Public Service Act, Schedule 1 of the Public Service Act. We're transferring that administrative responsibility for that department to the Minister of Communications. And I think we need to understand. So there's no specific law that creates GCIS. GCIS is a Schedule 1 department. But the administrative responsibility in terms of that department, the EA responsible for that department is the Minister for Communication. So we're clearly spelling that part out. ICASA, Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, moves from the old Department of Communication to the new Department of Communication. That is a piece of legislation that is now, ICASA is established through legislation. That legislation is transferred to the new minister. I'll deal with some specific areas that we currently offer dealing with there. The ICASA and the South African Broadcasting Corporation, or the South African Broadcasting Act, which deals with the South African Broadcasting Corporation, moves from the old Department of Communication to the new Department of Communication. In relation to ICASA and the SABC, we've identified certain areas of overlap between the Minister of Communication and the Minister of Telecommunication and Postal Services. We have now approached the state law advisors to give us a comprehensive legal opinion, identifying the specific sections within both those legislations so that we can appropriately assign responsibility. So it's not just transferring the entire piece of legislation. We want to look at the specific areas within the legislation that needed to be accommodated. The next area we needed to move, or this function that we needed to do, is brand essay. The point I want to raise around brand essay, if you look at the proclamation, you won't find brand essay on the proclamation, because brand essay is not established through a piece of legislation. It's a function that was there in the presidency. And that function, and remember, there's a number of partners involved in the establishment of brand essay, and it's through a memorandum of agreement between those parties. That function moves, the memorandum moves, and all of those things move, but it's not a piece of legislation that moves. The MDDA, or the Media Development Diversity Agency, moves from the presidency to the new Department of Communication. That's a piece of legislation that moves. The Film and Publication Board, which deals with content in terms of radio, TV, and so on, also moves from Home Affairs to the Department of Communication. In our view, that was misplaced with Department of Home Affairs, and we've now dealt with that matter. I hope I managed to explain some of those areas carefully there. Then, in relation to the transfer of functions entities to the new Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, all telecommunication functions now move to the Minister of Telecoms and Postal Services. Broadband Infrastructure Company, or Broadband Infraco, moves from DPA as an entity to communication. That proclamation we're currently finalizing, and I'll speak to that in a little while. The South African Post Office Limited, Telkom South Africa Limited, those are all pieces of legislation in relation to those entities are moving, so the responsibility becomes the Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services. The National Electronic Media Institute, or NIMISA, will move to Telecommunications and Postal Services. CETA, the example I use, State Information Technology, from DPSA, is also moving. Universal Services and Access Agency of South Africa, as well as the Universal Service and Access Fund. Both are pieces of legislation that moves across, and the responsibility for both of those moves to telecoms. And Centec Limited, the entity that's owned by government, also moves to telecommunications. How far we've gone, and this progress was as at 7th of August. That was the last meeting we've concluded. And as indicated, I'm going to deal with it with the cluster, which is communication and telecommunication postal services. There is broad consensus and broad agreement in terms of the functions that need to move between the two departments or the two ministries. And as indicated, we've identified overlaps in relation to ministerial mandates, in relation to Electronic Communications and Transaction Act, the ICASA Act, and the Broadcasting Act in relation to a number of areas. And we are in the process of identifying those and trying to address them. In relation to InfraCo, as I indicated, we've not gazetted or proclaimed the assignment of this particular function at this point because we were waiting for the board to meet. We were then subsequently informed that the board has approved in principle the changing of the shareholder in this case. So the shareholder moves from the Minister of Public Enterprises to the Minister responsible for telecommunications and postal services. So that has been finalized. We will deal with that during the course of this week and issue a new proclamation signed by the President to transfer InfraCo. And as indicated, the Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services will officially replace the Minister of Public Enterprises as the shareholder representative on the board of InfraCo. The challenges that we've identified, as I indicated, is the overlaps between legislation. The location has been now dealt with. Even the state law advisors have raised some areas in relation to ICASA. We are now dealing with it. The state law advisors are in the process of giving us a comprehensive legal opinion. There is a draft that's available. We are in the process of finalizing it, and we're hoping to get that done during the course of this week for a final proclamation in terms of the actual assignment of functions. We've also held a number of meetings between the two DGs, DG of GCIS and the DG of current communications, to try and manage this process. There's broad consensus at the DG level and at ministerial level on a number of these issues, and we will conclude them very soon. Madam Chair, honorable members, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Govender. I I believe the members have captured and they understood fully their presentation. Even though I'm still opening up the presentation for any areas that members want clarity or they need further discussions on the issue. Any matter? Honorable Davis.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation. I think something that a lot of people are worried about with this particular proclamation is the trend against convergence. Now, as you well know, convergence is really about telecommunications and broadcasting really coming together. And what we are seeing now is essentially a divergence, like by splitting up these departments. And it's, you know, we used to have a telecoms regulator and a broadcasting regulator, and they were merged to form one regulator, ICASA. And we still have that one merged regulator, but now we have a diverged, two diverged departments. It feels like we're going backwards. It feels that we're undoing a lot of progress that has been made towards convergence. And I would like to hear your view on why you think, administratively speaking, why this was a good idea, given the trend towards convergence. You yourself identify various overlaps and anomalies which really come from that process, because we're really trying to untangle something which is intrinsically tangled. And I think that's why you're facing these anomalies and these overlaps. So I'd like to hear your comments on just the general rationale for diverging these two departments, because we haven't really had a political explanation for it, so I'd like to hear an administrative one. And then just on the overlaps themselves, can you please outline precisely what overlaps you have identified? Just itemize them precisely for us. Thank you very much.
If there is no other issue, can I request Mr. Govenda to respond?
Madam Chair, thank you. Thank you, Honourable Member. I think we've been doing lots of reading around the trend towards convergence versus divergence. But I think from our side, I think we need to be, maybe I need to be a little bit clearer. DPSA responsibility is to give administrative effect to a political decision at the end of the day. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're giving effect to the political decision. And it's not our role to question any of those political decisions in terms of giving administrative effect to it. So our role is largely an administrative one in ensuring that it is done legally and it's done appropriately and it's given proper effect to that political decision. And in that regard, what we're trying to make sure that the overlaps that we've identified are, I won't be in a position to go through every single one. It's a 30-page legal opinion that we received from the state law advisors in relation to just the Broadcasting Act and the... Well, I think in particular Broadcasting Act versus the ICASA. But I can speak to some of the areas. You'll notice if you go through the ICASA Act itself, it talks about on policy issues and it talks about recommendation and it refers to what they call underlying legislation. And then they need to communicate with the minister or make policy, make recommendations and provide comments to the minister in relation to that underlying piece of legislation. And what we wanted to do is be very clear so that you don't have a situation where the Minister of Telecommunication determines a policy and that policy needs to be ratified by the Minister of Communication as the Minister responsible for ICASA at the end of the day, ICASA Act. So we wanted to make sure that all aspects related to telecommunication and postal services is then assigned through this proclamation to the Minister of Telecommunication, and then we clearly identify in the Act that all aspects in relation to telecommunication, ICASA and the underlying legislation and minister responsible for that becomes telecommunications and postal service. In the same way we've done that for communication. So we went through each of those sections. There's a number of them there. And you'll notice in all aspects in relation to regulations, in relation to policy, in relation to recommendation, they talk about the underlying legislation. So we now want to separate that underlying legislation. And we want to deal with that. It's the same principle in the Broadcasting Act as well. An example in the Broadcasting Act I can give you is the question of policy in relation to broadcasting. and who is responsible for the policy and how is it appropriately assigned. So we then deal with those issues as part of this process. As indicated, we're still studying the state law advisor's opinion, and we're in the process of trying to now consolidate that into a very clear proclamation that we will issue. And those are the overlaps that we've identified that need to be appropriately dealt with. We don't want to see a situation where there's conflict between ministers that results in administrative problems because of the incorrect placement of legislation in a sense. I think we've addressed and we tried to, as far as possible, through this exercise, through appropriate placement, deal with the administrative problems that may arise down the line. We've also suggested, and the state law advisors are assisting us in that process, is to sign what we call a memorandum of understanding between ICASA, Minister of Telecommunication, Minister of Communication, to define the working arrangements between the three of them. So we're hoping that will also reduce or minimize administrative difficulties going forward. So in that sense, I think we're trying to deal with the administrative issues to prevent problems down the line, and I believe we should be able to solve some of them. Some of them will require legal amendments, and that's a next step of the process that we may want to deal with, and the state law advisors have advised us to that effect. But as part of this NMOS project, we don't want to go down that road at this point. We want to deal with it as it currently stands. Thanks.
Thanks, Govinda. There's a hand from Honorable Losi. Proceed.
Yes, thanks very much. Well, I mean, I think that I've been trying to see if we can have a say and what type of a say we could have. I don't think, like the Honorable Davis has said, you know, the administrative rearrangements that have to be made have to be absorbed from the moral and political responsibility. So I want to test, in your opinion, doctor, he's not the doctor. He's not Palajada. Mr. Governor, I envisage a country where all citizens have a responsibility to keep up and hold our government accountable, including public servants. I don't think you're absolved from the responsibility of some of these questions that are political, because we have a fear here as parliamentarians that what we are seeing, at least in the opposition, is the emergence of the Department of Propaganda, which is absolutely anti-democratic. And it seems you are working out the administrative field for that emergence. So 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, you'll have to be blamed as well as a public servant that was key to the emergence of, I think, what will be a dangerous facility. Look at the entities that are going, linking GCIS, which is about government communications. That minister is going to also be responsible for entities of so much power around information and media, including something as noble as making our media diverse, making it a point that there's community media that emerges, supporting independent and public scrutiny. I want to ask you, really, what is your opinion? But from a point of view of that political responsibility that lies on particularly the administrative entities and individuals that are assisting our politicians, don't we all have an obligation to put this into question? What would be your reaction to that? That what we are doing here is really creating that dangerous emergence of the Department of Propaganda, which is going to abuse our entities and as it were, return us to that old era of apartheid with regards to information dissemination and all those things.
Yeah, of course. I firstly note that, of course, your reference to Dr. Paul was completely relevant and has nothing to do with the matter at hand, even though just to indicate that largely we always indicate that there are issues that are largely political and administrative, and it becomes such a, you know, I don't know, it becomes too overburdened to particularly the administrator to have to answer the political matters which relate both to ourselves as members of parliament together with the ministers. I'm aware that we did invite the minister to do the presentation, which possibly that could have been relevant. I'm trying to guide in terms of this one so that what Mr. Govender can be able to answer, you can pick up on what you feel this you can be able to carry on board in terms of explanation, but I'm away. We are not a politician at this point in time, and therefore I wouldn't like to take up political issues with you. And of course, it becomes good if they are ministers so that we can engage at that level. And I understand your point. It would have been a good engagement at that level. But let me just hand over to you to respond, but also noting that we are not necessarily forcing you to get into areas which are not necessarily your areas largely. Over to you.
Thank you very much for that, Madam Chair, and I was not going to respond to the political issues, and I fully agree with that. That is a debate at a different level. Our responsibility, as I indicated, is to give administrative effect and to ensure that that administrative effect is done in such a way that it promotes the effectiveness and the efficiency in the functioning of the public service at the end of the day. And that's the work we largely do. We ensure that the structures, the resources, the staffing, all of those activities as well as legal instruments that are in place are effectively moved between entities to ensure that there's no administrative burdens or hurdles along the way to make sure they work, and we simply deal with those aspects. I must indicate also that there's one final aspect to finalize this entire process that we're currently working on as DPSA, is the Minister for Public Service and Administration issues what we call a determination in terms of Section 3 of the Public Service Act, which looks at the movement, the physical movement of people, resources at the end of the day, resources, the financial and other resources. That's the current work we're doing, and we want to finalize that by end of August. Once that is done, then we will know exactly what the administrative structures are going to look like in terms of the political decision and how they all function in a very organized and consolidated manner. Thanks, sir.
There's a hand from Honourable Davis. Yes, proceed.
Thank you very much, Chair. The message that I'm getting from this is that the divergence of these departments is politically expedient, but administratively unworkable. Because, as you've identified, there's so many overlaps and so many confusion in mandates that it's actually very difficult for you as an administrator to implement a political decision, because I believe, and I think a lot of us believe, that this was done for the wrong reasons. It was done for political reasons and not to make the state more efficient. And that's why you are stuck with the problems that you faced with now. I would like to ask the chairperson if we could get the minister to come before the committee to discuss this issue, because we can't have a situation where administrators are sent before this committee and they're not empowered to answer these questions. And it means that the minister ducks the real issues of the day and the real reasons why this proclamation has happened. And we need to hold the minister to account for that. So I would really like to formally request that the minister comes and gives us a presentation on the real reasons why this proclamation was done. And then just another thing, the legal opinion that you mentioned, is that a secret document or is it something that this committee could be privy to? Thanks.
Are there issues that you want to respond to? Because I'm sure largely the matter is referred to me in terms of the request that Honourable Davis is putting, which I can take the issues that you think you need to hear, and I can be able to sum up. Unless, if are there other hands, Honourable Members? Maybe before you do so, let me take the hand of Honourable Galago.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, as you have alluded earlier, I think here what we're dealing with the political ideological position of EFF plus DA, which have nothing to do with officials. I think that must be clear, because that is their political standpoint and their view on these changes. which the government have made. So to me, I think we because we are not running away from debating that, I think we will have, because I think they want that engagement on the reasons why the African National Congress, after election, have decided to create these new departments, in particular the communications department. I think that's the challenge which they are posing on us, which I don't think it's fair to put that to officials. Whoever, Honorable Ndlozi, who might have been an official at whatever time, if the government have decided to reorganize and restructure departments, that person was going to carry that mandate without any question, unless protest is and move. So I don't want us here to conflate two issues of administration, because that is what Honorable Davis also is actually alluding to. I don't think the minister, we can call the minister and debate the issue here. We are not afraid to do that as ANC. We are governing, we'll do that.
Yeah, actually, no. I was aware now we're moving into now becoming political, and I really tried to really deal with that. And we had finalized our matter with Honorable Lewis, but Honorable David pursued in another way. And honestly speaking, we do have also an agenda item that needs attention. And what I need to say, Honorable Lewis, on this matter, yes, as it's requested, I will elevate this matter to a political seminar of communication where we can engage freely. I think really I realize we need space on that one, and I'm not going to suppress members if they want to enter into that. Honorable Rose, on which matter is that? Because now you're interrupting me. I'm trying to speak. We are, you know, pacing your head. Okay, speak then.
I think that it's not ideological differences. It's actually philosophical. I'm not of the opinion that our public servants have a political responsibility too. I was raising because I wanted to test the bravery on their part to give an analysis about the manner in which they are responsible in using the resources. So I want to hold the minister accountable. During the budget debates, we had said these things, but you can't censor us if they are willing to give us an opinion as public servants themselves. I don't agree that. I think it's actually a false distinction when we say that only the minister can respond to political issues. Everybody in the country must hold a political view, and I wanted to test. They are reorganizing a department administratively. What are the political, in their opinion, what are the political implications of that? If they don't want to talk about it, it's fine.
We can take it elsewhere.
So I wanted to clarify that it's not because I think they are politically accountable. It's precisely because I think they're administratively accountable that I wanted to hear their opinion.
Now, Chair, my point of order, you don't do that, Honorable Ndlozi. These are officials. Because the next time you're going to accuse them outside here, you can't put them on the spot. You want them, because the next thing you will say, you, Ndlozi, you'll be saying, look, those officials are ANC. That's what you're going to say. Why do you want their political opinion on a political issue? Why don't you deal with them on the administrative issue?
Honourable members, can I request that this matter will be elevated to a political seminar where we're going to deal with it thoroughly, where the political frenzy can take place, where we all are political at that point. Can we, at the moment, agree that we got the briefing that we requested the department to come and deal with, and agree that we do have, members have raised the expectation to still engage politically on other matters, which I'm doing a commitment that we'll look at a political seminar, you know, because it's also important to clear to the public out there in terms of what informed the spreading of the department and what is it that we're looking at in long term. I don't really think it's a bad idea. We will look at it. We'll plan for it appropriately, and we'll afford a proper stage that is necessary to do so. Unless if there's something you needed to round up on, Honourable Davis.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just wondering if Mr. Govender will respond to my questions. There's two questions. One is around the administrative workability of the proposal. Not asking you to comment on the politics of it, just the administrative workability of it, as well as the status of that legal opinion and whether it could be shared with this committee, because I believe that it's crucial for us to understand precisely what those overlaps are, what the issues are, so that we can conduct proper oversight of this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Honourable Member. Firstly, in relation to the administrative workability, the purpose of us making sure that we take sufficient time to ensure that all administrative aspects are appropriately dealt with, both in legislation as well as in terms of function, is why we are delayed. I mean, we're much further down the line with all the other departments except these two departments, and that's the purpose of ensuring we can administratively deal with it correctly. It would have been easy for us to simply transfer the piece of legislation and then get the ministers and departments to work between themselves. We want to take the step a step further in this piece of legislation of clearly identifying the various areas within the piece of legislation and the appropriate assignment of those legislation between the ministers. So from our perspective as DPSA, we're very clear that, yes, the political decision in terms of the various departments and the assignment of those functions is a decision that has been made, and from an administrative perspective, we will be able to make it work at the end of the day. So we're comfortable from our side that it can work, and it will work. We will have to just put in place the appropriate mechanisms to make sure it works appropriately. Chair, the legal opinion that has come from the state law advisors, I will have to check with my minister and the DG in the presidency, who was the custodian of this entire process, before we release any documents.
All right. Honourable members, in summary, we do need some clarity on areas that are already proclaimed. And of course, there are issues, as already outlined, there are issues that are functions which are largely administrative, and we've got an insight in terms of how those matters are worked around. There are also legislative matters which are legal. For an example, we might have even got confused why Brand South Africa coming to us, but on the proclamation it's not there. But after this this discussion, it's very clear that issues that are functions, how they get, how we work around legal and functional, which is quite administrative. Of course, we are not spectators as Parliament in the process, because if there are legislative matters that come along, we do have to have our active role as legislators to then deal with our processes. So, of course, it's a matter that we'll still engage with, so that we look at the areas that require Parliament, where we are located in terms of working on that. But in terms of the presentation that we've already got, we now have a light in terms of what are the areas that might require further work, but would still need the ministers, the cluster consent together with the Minister for Communications, to really bring the issues that require further legislating in order for us to stabilize and move forward. Of course, one have noted again that the issue of media, the portfolio committee for communication was so huge. I just wonder how they managed to work all those areas. And I'm very sure there are issues that would slip along the way. And for me, in terms of having a communication focusing also on media in this way, I think it will really assist in terms of the transformation of society, particularly around the issues of media, the role that the media has to play. And I believe it's an opportunity that has befallen on us, frankly, so to be able to deal with that kind of, to focus thoroughly. The task was really huge. It would have required the portfolio committee to sit from Monday to Friday. And we can see, even with the proclaiming of functions differently, it's still a lot of work to deal with. And therefore, I think as members, we will take up this opportunity and the privilege of indulging into the media, transformation of media quite vigorously. I have noted a need for a further discussion on the seminar for the communication. It is necessary in the light of a new development that has taken place, which I will take up, and we will properly organize and arrange for that. In the light of that, honorable members, I want to believe that we have reached the end of the presentation. I want to thank the Department of Public Service and Administration. I do know that at the moment, even the Minister for Communications wanted to hear there are so many activities taking place concurrently, and the ministers had to really deal with all other matters. The fact that today we did have that kind of clarity, which made us realize what is it that we need further, I believe that it's taking the committee somewhere. The intention was to further discussion and look into the, because you might assume that we have all looked into the proclamation, we have all understood what comes our way, and you might find that along the way we still bring issues that are not relevant to the committee, and I think we have achieved that to a particular extent. Mr. Govenda, thank you very much, and your team. Honourable members, can I afford you a 10-minute break? 15. And we come back and we proceed with the next presentation. Thank you very much.